The same thing is with school. I watch kids today finding themselves filled with all kinds of stress and anxiety because they've got to make a certain GPA. They've got to progress well enough or excel so far, not just with their grades, but at their athletic abilities. They've got to push and go beyond anybody else. Now, it's good to excel. It's good to apply ourselves in school. We ought to always be applying ourselves. But when one's GPA or athletic accomplishments become an ultimate thing, you've just used that to build your own kingdom. I see way too many parents today teaching their kids how to build the kingdom of self. I see way too many parents pouring themselves into that, putting this pressure on these kids to build, and what they're doing, they don't even know, they're building the kingdom of self. Because your identity is based off your grades, where you go to college, the job you get, how far you excel in your athletics, all of that. And it's all about building the kingdom of self. A prominent psychologist that I read not too long ago said this. He said, the average high school kid today has the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the early 1950s. Let me say that again, because that's something that we need to hear. The average high school kid today has the same amount of anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. You think we're putting pressure on our kids? Let me tell you, it's not just an anxiety that they experience. Friends, I think the anxiety is with us as well. Many of us, if we're honest, could say, that's me. You see, we are running the treadmill of life, aren't we? Trying better, trying harder, trying to accomplish more. We want all of this. And if we're honest, the motivation is not to build God's kingdom. It's to build whose kingdom? My kingdom. I have to stop every day and be confronted with time after time after time that I am building my own kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. And it is so easy to fall into that. But friends, it's no wonder that we are a culture that is stressed out, maxed out, and overcommitted. Don't raise your hand, but can any of you relate to that? And I think at its core, I believe, it's the result of living and building our own kingdom of self. We're so consumed with building our own kingdom. And do you know what happens when we do? Not only do our lives become less satisfying, they become filled with fear and anxiety and stress. That's what we see in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 23, and I'm going to throw in 25. Read along with me. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And he says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? We know that, right? But then what does Jesus say to that? Look at verses 30 and 31. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. In a sense, he's saying all the nations of the world are seeking to build the kingdom of self. He goes on. He says, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. And these things will be added to you. Did you catch what he said? Instead, seek whose kingdom? His kingdom. You know what Jesus is doing to his disciples? You know what he's doing for you and me? He is calling us out of this kingdom of one, this kingdom of self that is actually really, really much smaller than we think. He's calling us out of that into a much greater kingdom, a kingdom where there is life and hope and peace, a kingdom in which we know that God meets our every need. He says it right this, your Father knows that you need them. I want you to hear this morning, he knows what you need. Your Father in heaven knows what you need when you walked in here this morning. He knows what you need when you wake up tomorrow morning. He knows what you need, and he is there. And he says, seek my kingdom. I was on a call with someone, a family member this week. They called me late one evening and just filled with anxiousness, filled with fear, because they had just gotten word from a doctor that they may have cancer. And one doctor months ago said no, and this one is now saying probably yes, and they're going, I've just wasted 4 months with all of this stuff and these tests that they're going to have to go through. They're incredibly stressed and anxious about the tests that are ahead. That's the bigger stress, not the outcome. As we talked on the phone, we talked, and I was able to share some of this with her, and got off the phone, called the next day, totally different person. The Lord met them in their fear. The Lord met them in their anxiety. He met them. His kingdom invaded their heart that night, their minds, and there was a peace because they began to see, my heavenly Father knows my need. Well, I want you to hear this morning, your heavenly Father knows your need, and he knows how to meet it. That's why he says, seek my kingdom, right? The life-giving kingdom. You see, in seeking God's kingdom, do you know what we're doing? In seeking his kingdom, we're seeking the king. And not that it's a newsflash, but you know there is only one king, and you're not him. And I'm not him. But there is one king, and his name is Jesus. And he's the king because he's the king who came in our brokenness to bring this kingdom of life where there could be renewed hope, where there is someone, a king, who walks with us in those difficult, dark moments of life, who walks with us in the joys of life. There is a king. And this king didn't just come to walk with us. He came to give his blood for us so that you and I could have life and enter into the greatest kingdom ever, the kingdom that we were ultimately born for, and that's the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus says, seek my kingdom, it's the invitation to come out of the small kingdom that we so often build for ourselves, to let go of the anxiety and the seeking the approval of others and all of that, and to come into this glorious kingdom where there is one king who has redeemed our lives from the pit. Amen? This one king who walks with us every day, this one king who loves us with an extravagant love. I wonder if you know that love. I wonder if you know this king in that way. I was reminded this week of Psalm 63, a psalm that King David wrote. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Do you know what David is doing here? Do you know what he's writing? When he says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. He's saying, I seek you because everything else in this world, as good, as beautiful as it is, will never satisfy the deep thirst and hungers that I have in my soul. And so he says, God, I seek you. I want your kingdom to come and explode more in my life. And I love what he says. He goes, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. He has set his eyes upon the God, the King, the life-giving God, beholding your power and your glory. And he says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Friends, I wonder, do you know this steadfast love? This unimaginable love of God? David knew it. Do you know how he knew it? Do you know why? Because he lifted his eyes heavenward. He lifted his eyes to God, the creator, the maker, the God who would come and redeem. Here's the point. When our hearts are captured, when our hearts are captivated by a worshipful, loving awe of God, we begin to see and live life in a new way. Our motivations begin to change from building our own kingdoms because we need so much to a loving, worshipful awe of a God with extravagant love who has already met our need. And the affections of our hearts begin to change. We begin to change. Our lives begin to change. We become different friends. We become a different spouse. We become a different parent, a different son, a different daughter. We begin to do our work differently because we know the King. And we know that instead of trying to get his love, we already have it. And so we are free to live in a totally new way. You know, one other thing that I know is true of every single person in this room, not just that we're builders, we all long that our lives have impact. We all long that our lives matter. We all long that there's meaning, that they count for something. And friends, I will tell you, it is something far greater than our little kingdom of one. What I believe that God is doing at St. Andrew's in this moment, in this time, is calling us up. Calling us up to be renewed in the mission and vision of building God's kingdom and not our own. Friends, when we know that we are loved by the King, we become free no longer to build our own kingdom, but to build God's. Living for God, for his kingdom, with an intentional mindset upon the King. You know what Jesus is doing right now? What he's doing is he's renewing, he's rebuilding, he's restoring our lives and this city. And the invitation for you is the same invitation for me, is to come and give our lives to this greater kingdom, to the rebuilding, the restoring, the redeeming of God in our lives and in this city. You know, when I was thinking about this past week, there's times that God calls us in big ways to extend, to build his kingdom. And there are also ordinary ways that he leads us in building his kingdom. One example of a large way that I believe he's called St. Andrew's to build his kingdom is by sending Ryan out and Kristen and a host of others from St. Andrew's to start a third service that will become a church plant cornerstone that will have a kingdom impact in this city, in Little Rock. I believe it's a strategic move for St. Andrew's. And some have said, it's crazy, it's scary, it's bold, it's strategic. And I respond by saying yes, 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 yes. But friends, it's a mighty calling of the Lord. And what we see is this: planting churches reaches unbelievers in strategic ways. But also planting churches, it renews the body in the mother church in strategic and new ways. I've heard many of you say in the last probably 8 or 10 months, Robert, I got to tell you what God's doing in my heart, in my life, in this season. He's giving me a new passion that there is something greater for me to live for. And I'm beginning to get a taste to see what that is. I'm beginning to say that in this small little place in Little Rock, in my little world, I can actually make a difference for the kingdom. I'm like, yes. In our community group this last spring, we went through Alpha. And it was one of the most exciting things because I saw people in our group catch a vision for God's kingdom and their role in God's kingdom, in being used to reach those who don't know this extravagant love of Jesus. I have a group of men, a discipleship group that I meet with on Friday mornings, and the theme this past Friday was this: God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I love that. God uses ordinary people like you, like me, to do extraordinary things. And the more I thought about it, I began to realize those extraordinary things are done in the ordinary moments of life. Do you see that? And I want to tell you what we're going to do for the next few minutes. I'm going to get real practical, boots on the ground. What does it look like for us at St. Andrew's to live with a kingdom impact, to build God's kingdom? Then I'm going to invite Ryan up to share for a few minutes what the Lord has been doing through this third service, through Cornerstone. We're going to have a time to gather around him and lay hands on him and this work that he and Kristen and others have set out to do. And then we're going to have some extended time for us at St. Andrew's in prayer. The band's going to lead us in some songs, and the prayer team are going to be gathered on the sides of the sanctuary for anyone who wants to just get up and walk over for prayer. Prayer that God's kingdom would break into your life in a greater way. Prayer that God would break chains that have held you bound for however many years. Prayers of deliverance, healing, whatever, they're there. You believe that God is at work. So let me pull back to this and get real practical for a few minutes before I invite Ryan up to share. What does this look like? Ordinary people doing ordinary things, having an extraordinary impact, building God's kingdom. Let me give a few. One of the ways is when we intentionally live for God's kingdom, that our lives become a blessing to others through everyday acts of faithfulness. Just everyday acts of faithfulness to the Lord. By helping someone through acts of kindness, you know what you're doing? You're building God's kingdom. By encouraging someone with a note or with words, you know what you're doing? You're building God's kingdom. By giving of your time, of your financial resources to St. Andrew's, to others in need, do you know what you're doing? You're building God's kingdom. The way that you love your unbelieving friends with the grace and truth of Jesus, when you do you know what you're doing? You're building God's kingdom. By creating hospitality in your home, you're building God's kingdom. By giving your time to serve at Western Hills Elementary School, being a mentor to these kids, you're building God's kingdom. By serving the youth at Immerse Arkansas who've aged out of foster care, by helping families who are fostering and have adopted kids, do you know what you're doing? You're building God's kingdom. That meal you gave for them is building God's kingdom because God, through you, is extending his rule and reign, his grace. I hope you're beginning to get a picture. It's not all these grand things that we think we've got to do, but it's ordinary people doing ordinary things that become, in God's eyes, extraordinary. Friends, the call for us today is to rise up, to let go of the hammer and the nails and the saws of building our own kingdom, and to enter into with open hands the work of God's great kingdom in this city of Little Rock. That through us, we get to be the light of the risen Savior. When they come and encounter and see him, lives are radically changed. People set free. Because we are intentional about how we're living our lives. Amen? Amen.